The race for governor in Wisconsin is tied, according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll out this week. And Wisconsin's attorney general predicts the ban on same-sex marriage in Wisconsin will be struck down in the courts, as this week Pennsylvania becomes the latest state to have a ban overturned. Senator Ron Johnson objects to a claim that racism may have something to do with opposition to Obamacare, and President Obama speaks out on the Veterans Affairs scandal. We will talk about these issues and many more in this edition of The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our two guests from different political perspectives welcome your input, too. What issue in the news this week has your attention? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Michelle Litchens is a former Republican state representative from Oshkosh and a small business owner. Good morning.
Good morning.
And John Smart is the past chair of the Price County Democratic Party and a board member of Park Falls Community Library. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to you, Michelle.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the new poll from Marquette University. It finds that the race between Republican Governor Scott Walker and his Democratic challenger Mary Burke is a statistical dead heat, 46% to 46%. So, Michelle, why do you think that this race is so close?
Well, I think, first, we all know Wisconsin is a very purple state. This is going to be a close race all the way through Election Day. But when you really start digging into the poll, they continue to sample more Democrats than they did with the previous few polls. I mean, the gap between Republicans and Democrats in this poll is 12.6%. The gap in March was 8%. The gap in January was 7%. So when you continue to sample more Democrats, you are going to have more individuals, you know, supporting Mary Burke, and so you're going to see that get closer. So, but I think you have to look further down in that poll and see that those who are likely to vote this fall definitely support Scott Walker. Scott Walker has more approval or more support from independents, which I think bodes well in the state of Wisconsin because you have a strong core of Republicans and a strong core of Democrats that know who they're going to vote for, so everyone's going to be vying for those individuals in the middle. But, I mean, I don't think this poll is telling us anything different than we already knew. Wisconsin is close, but I do think that Scott Walker is doing better than what the poll says.
John Smart, what's your take?
Well, Michelle is talking about one particular poll, I assume. I'm not sure which one you're talking about. The Marquette University poll, is that what it was?
That's the one we're talking about.
Yeah, okay, because there are several other polls, too, and they all come up with about the same kind of figures. And I'm not going to challenge anybody on figures at this point. It's a little too early to say. But what I was impressed by was the fact that they're so close. When you consider that Ms. Burke is brand new to this, and she's not exactly a well-known name throughout the state or anything, and Scott Walker's been governor for 3+ years, and you would think that just the name recognition alone would give him a better edge than this seems to have gotten. I think it's going to be a very tight race all the way along, and I'm very, very pleased that Mary Burke is doing as well as she is at this early stage.
Yeah. The Marquette University Law School poll was released this week, but there were some other national polls that showed similar results, and Charles Franklin, the pollster at Marquette University, mentioned, Michelle, that this is, that there are more women that shifted their support from Governor Walker to Mary Burke, and young people, that was another difference there. I mean, he's saying that some people are just tuning in right now to the race for governor.
And that could be true. I mean, we still have very high percentages in Wisconsin of bases on both sides who know who they're voting for. You know, something else that was really interesting in this, which I think we've seen resonate in other polls, they said 67% of respondents either agree or strongly agree that they can't trust government to do the right thing. This other number I think is staggering in this poll. 90% of respondents either agree or strongly agree that government wastes a lot of money that we pay in taxes. So I think that just goes to support the idea that that the intensity of the conservative side this fall is really going to show up in November. It is a motivator, you know, for individuals to vote this year, which is why they said more Republicans are going to turn out in November. But I don't think that those two things support a strong Democrat wave in the state of Wisconsin this year.
So will there be a strong Democratic wave in Wisconsin this year, John Smart, or not?
I'm hoping that there will be, but that's partly a problem with the off-year elections. And if we look at our historical background, that's pretty much what happens. We turn out a lot of Democrats for the presidential year, but the off-year elections, we don't turn out as many. But I think that there are an awful lot more young people involved this time. And what you were talking about before, we are running a lot of women, and I think it's about time. The Republican Party has not done a very good job of courting women. And I think that it's important that we start looking to that direction. Up here in the Northwoods, we're running a woman for Dave Obey's old seat in Congress. We're running a woman for Bob Jouk's seat in the state Senate. We're running a woman for Janet Buley's old seat in the Assembly. We got a lot of women running up here, and we're all very pleased about that.
Well, you know, in the same poll, and again, we don't have to dissect the numbers in great detail, but the concept, Governor Walker's approval rating rose slightly. John, why do you think this is?
I don't know. I think it's probably a lot to do with, as I said before, name recognition. Lord knows we all know about Walker. He's been in the news more than he deserves. And so I think it's mostly just that. It's just name recognition level.
Yeah. Michelle?
Well, you know, Scott Walker has done what he said he's going to do. And we have now seen, at least I started to read today, that we are going to have additional money at the state level again after this budget. You know, they have lowered taxes. They have restrained spending, but yet continue to provide services. And I think Wisconsinites are saying, hey, we pay enough in taxes here. We need to use our money more wisely. And Scott Walker has actually delivered that. And so when you really start to consider who you are going to vote for in November, you know who Scott Walker is. He's done what he said he was going to do. He has balanced the budget, and we are going to have another surplus, which might mean we'll have another opportunity for a tax cut in the next budget.
That's providing, of course, that you're not out looking for a job.
Yeah, what about the jobs, Michelle?
There are jobs available in Wisconsin. I know this is a whole different topic, but we have, if I continue to talk to people in manufacturing who have jobs available today, and people are not applying for those jobs. So I think we need to get back into our high school and talk to the individuals out there who may have had an office job previously and ask them if they'd consider being retrained to go into manufacturing somehow. There are people in the Valley who pay good money for individuals to enter the manufacturing field, and they simply don't have applicants for those jobs. So I think there are jobs available in Wisconsin, and I would like to see more jobs available here, obviously, but I do think we need to do some re-education about perhaps the fields that are available out there and the jobs that people should be applying for.
Yeah, and what do you think jobs, and tell us, John, what issues do you think should dominate the campaign trail for the race for governor?
Well, I'm not sure that that jobs should be the main thing, but after all, it was Scott Walker himself who said he was going to create 250,000 new jobs, and he hasn't come anywhere near that, and he won't. And I think that that's a serious problem. And the figures that we're talking about, Michelle, are from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and if anybody should know, they should. And there aren't a lot of jobs out there, and it's starting to sound like that old argument that, well, most of the people are sitting home collecting unemployment or collecting whatever, and not bothering to look for jobs, and that's just preposterous, I think. Well, I've talked to a lot of people who've been in this situation, and it's very difficult. Right now is a bad time. I talked to a lot of young people, and I so far, from this little area up in northern Wisconsin, I know of at least 10 kids that are in college who were going to become teachers who are not anymore. They've changed their majors into something more business-oriented because they can see that teachers are not being treated very well right now.
You know,
and I think that's scary.
Just to add to that, though, Wisconsin has, a 5.9% unemployment rate currently? I mean, that's the lowest it's been in years. So there are
jobs. How does it stand up nationally, though, Michelle?
Well, it's lower, I think, than the national average, John, but go ahead, Michelle.
There are jobs available in Wisconsin. We have a much lower unemployment rate than we've had in Wisconsin for years. We've had hundreds of applicants for every teaching position available for years in Wisconsin, if you look back at our history at that as well. So I just think that the governor has done his job by saying that he is going to lower taxes in Wisconsin. He is going to make it a more business-friendly state. I mean, our businesses are saying that our state is headed in the right direction and they want to hire more people. So everything that the governor has been doing is leading the state in the right direction. And, of course, we'd like it to move faster, but he's leading the state in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think what some point to, Michelle, is why are we not growing jobs at a faster rate when you compare us to the other states in the Midwest? They're doing a better job.
Wisconsin, again, 5.9% unemployment is not bad. I think Wisconsin also has some other disadvantages when you start looking at our demographics. And our education system, I still believe, is encouraging our kids to graduate from high school and not pursue a technical college and not pursue manufacturing, which are the base and the core of jobs in our state. I think we have to, definitely get out there and spread the word that you can earn a good living working in manufacturing. And when you look at northern Wisconsin, again, we were pushing for this mine for years. Those are good-paying jobs up in northern Wisconsin that don't require a four-year degree, and those will be, taking root in the next couple years. So we hope that unemployment in northern Wisconsin is going to go down. And even, you had a little news report about the sand fracking in western Wisconsin. Again, hiring people, but those are not four-year jobs. They don't require a four-year education. So I think we need to do a lot of explaining and talking to young people today about how they can earn a good living going to a tech college and pursuing jobs in manufacturing instead of always pursuing a four-year degree.
Anything else, John, on jobs?
No, I just think that Walker kind of put his own foot in his mouth by that promise of 250,000 new jobs, and I see that it's going to be a problem for him. And also, comparing our state to the ones around us, we're not that basically different from Minnesota, for instance, and they're doing appreciatively better than we are on this economy. And they're developing businesses, and they're encouraging businesses to move there, and we're not. And I just think that there's a mistake somewhere along the way.
We are talking with John Smart, past chair of the Price County Democratic Party, and Michelle Litchens, a former Republican state representative, during this edition of our Week in Review, talking about some state political issues first, including this poll showing Governor Walker and Mary Burke tied in the race for governor, and some of the issues that will be a part of that gubernatorial campaign. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the future of the same-sex marriage ban in Wisconsin. We'll also get the latest on the Department of Veterans Affairs scandal and much more. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What state or national political story from the past week do you want us to discuss? This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with two guests from different political viewpoints about the top stories in state and national politics from this week. Today we are talking with Michelle Litchens and John Smart, and with you if you'd like to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, we do have a number of people who wanted to talk more about jobs in Wisconsin, but since this is the Week in Review, we need to move on to some other issues in the news this week. Let's talk about same-sex marriage. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett opposes same-sex marriage, but he says he won't appeal a court ruling that struck down the ban on it this week. The decision means same-sex marriage will remain legal in Pennsylvania without the threat of a higher court reinstating the ban. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen said in a recent interview that Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage may likely be overturned in the courts someday soon. He did say he would aggressively defend his challenge, but noted that recent court decisions overturning bans in other states made it unlikely that Wisconsin's ban would hold up. Michelle Litchin, so what do you make of that?
Well, you know what I find to be very interesting? When the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act federally, Justice Kennedy was very specific when he said that, or he did not say that all states must recognize same-sex marriage. In fact, he wrote in his opinion that he gave full deference to the states to determine the definition of marriage. So they did not strike down the concept of banning gay marriage at all. In fact, they said, we are leaving this up to the states. So I find it very interesting that all of these court cases right now are taking place at the federal appellate court level, and where these judges are making these decisions as they are often writing legislation now instead of making rulings based on the Constitution. But the fact that these are all happening in federal court and they're not happening in a state court, I don't understand exactly why that's happening. And the way that they've been legislating from the bench, I think that J.B. Van Hollen's correct that the appellate court would strike down Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage. But I'd like to see some of these happen at the state level instead of in the federal court system right now, where we know these appellate judges and we know what they're going to do.
So what's happening here, John?
Well, I think it's case of inevitability, whether anybody likes it or not, it's going to happen. It's sort of like the argument about women's suffrage is the same thing, and the arguments were the same then too. Like, well, women shouldn't be allowed to vote; they should be at home keeping the house and taking care of the kids. And you know, it's just times have changed, is what I'm saying. And there's nothing really we can do to stop it. It's just going to continue on this way.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. We are talking with John Smart and Michelle Litchins, and with you if you'd like to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I want to talk about a story involving our U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Rockefeller. And let's take a listen to an exchange in the U.S. Senate this week. Rockefeller had mentioned that some of the objections to Obamacare may be racial. And Senator Johnson took offense to that. Let's take a listen to this exchange.
You've implied that I'm a racist.
I have
now
not
you're saying
implied
you,
that
you want me
racist.
To go back to a failed health care system. You're just incorrect.
That's very, very silly on your part. You're evidently satisfied with a lot of people not having health insurance. So long as
I am not. Quit making those assumptions. Quit saying I'm satisfied with that. I am not. There is another way of doing this. I'm happy to discuss it with you. I would have been happy to engage in the debate and pass a good health care law. As a matter of fact, I'm the one pushing a bill. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it at. I don't have any Democrat sponsors on that. I'm also working with Republican colleagues on preserving freedom and choice in health care. To preserve freedom and choice in health care. What a concept, huh? So, no, please, don't make implications of what I'm thinking and what I would really support. You have no idea.
I actually do, and God help you.
No, Senator, God help you for implying I'm a racist because I oppose this health care.
I did not imply that you're a racist.
Let's play back the tape.
Well, we can do that, but we're not going to.
All right. Well, it was a little bit long, but wanted you to hear the whole thing. So let me ask John Smart first. Was Senator Jay Rockefeller wrong in saying that some people oppose the Affordable Care Act because President Obama is the wrong color?
I don't think he was wrong in saying that because it's a fact. And I think I'm not sure about this one in particular. I think Senator Johnson kind of flew off the handle there because he was the only other one in the room, from what I understand, when this was all taking place. But Senator Rockefeller has been around for a long time and really knows what he's talking about. And I just think that it's just kind of misplaced anger on the part of Senator Johnson. But he's been very good about getting his name in the press for one reason or another. And I think that this was something to do with that. But the idea of seeing racism in anything is very common these days. And I think President Obama knew that that was going to happen. He commented on it a number of times at the beginning when he said, you know, some people are never going to like me or anything I do because of the color of my skin, and that's all there is to it, and there's nothing I can do about that. And the same thing is going to happen when we elect Hillary Clinton next year. They're going to be saying, oh, women shouldn't be presidents. That's not a good thing for women to do. It's not in their nature to be president. These are little steps that we have to just get past, that's all.
Well, Michelle, do you think that Rockefeller was wrong in saying that some of the opposition to the Affordable Care Act is based on racism?
Yeah, not only is he wrong, it's ridiculous, and it is going towards the absurd. Republicans, myself, many of us completely opposed Hillary Care when Bill Clinton was president because it was the wrong direction. We were taking the country in the wrong direction for health care. Senator Johnson mentioned his ideas. Republicans have other ideas for reforming health care for individuals in this country, and we know that Obamacare is going to completely destroy the health care system in our country. So you can disagree with Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act because it is bad legislation, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the color of the skin of our president. So I think the Democrats right now will say anything so that we stop talking about the increased rate of insurance premiums, so we stop talking during the election cycle about the people who are losing their doctor so they can't see their doctor any longer, people who are losing their private health insurance, and so they're being forced to go onto the exchange, and they're being forced to look for new doctors because they're losing their own. So I think the Democrats are going to say whatever outrageous thing they can say this year so we stop talking about the facts about Obamacare. And so I think we're going to continue to hear this. They're going to continue to play the race card through the election.
Let me take a call from John in East Troy. Hello, John.
Yes, I'm calling because of the fact that I don't agree with the president on Obamacare. That makes me racist. So would that mean that all the people of the Black Caucus that didn't agree with President Bush, would that make them racist, or is it just a one-way street on being racist?
Do you want to comment on that, John?
I'm not quite sure I understood that, but I don't think that it. I think that calling anybody racist is an interesting question, but really, I think the more interesting part of this whole discussion is to look and see how many, not just on health care, but look at the whole spectrum of things that have been worked on in the House of Representatives in particular, and you'll see that a larger number of appointments, for instance, have been turned down from this president than larger than most other presidents all combined, and a lot of other things that were just simply blackballed, and that because they came from this president. And there is a certain amount of racial problem with this, and I don't think it makes any sense to deny that it's there, because we really, it's like the same thing with women running for office. It's another stumbling stone that we have to somehow get past, and I think that we will.
Let's take another call from Dave in Menominee. Hello, Dave.
Hi. Well, I wanted to bring up something about one of the guests just said that, you know, against Hillary Care. Well, we had to fight against Hillary Care. The Republican solution at that time is the plan we have now here, Obamacare. It had a mandated payment. All the states were mandated. Republicans came on. It was a Bob Dole plan. Newt Gingrich came on television telling us how there has to be mandated payments. And it is a conservative plan.
Yeah. So, Michelle, what about that? That this is really a Republican plan,
yeah.
That Obamacare is.
Well, I don't completely buy into that. There were many ideas that were being tossed around out there. But again, getting back to the basic idea that Republicans or individuals or Senator Johnson is opposed to to the Affordable Care Act because of the color of President Obama's skin is just utterly ridiculous. And I think we're going to hear ridiculous and outrageous comments like that again through the election this year because they don't want to talk about the facts of increased insurance premiums and people losing their doctors with Obamacare.
Yeah, this week, President Obama did chastise Republicans for continued attempts to undermine the Affordable Care Act and for the continued focus on Benghazi by saying that this, you know, Obamacare, Benghazi focus is not what the American public cares about and is not what's important to the American public, whereas, you know, the economy is. How do you respond to that, Michelle?
I disagree with that completely. What happened in Benghazi is incredibly important to many Americans, especially Americans who have sons, daughters, fathers, mothers who are serving in the military or who have served in the past, to know that we have Americans who were left defenseless, and we don't know why that happened, and the left is unwilling to investigate and find out why Americans were not sent to defend an American embassy under attack. That is important to many of us. We do want to talk about jobs and the economy, but there is more going on out there today. And to say that we don't want to talk about jobs in the economy and we want to talk about Benghazi because, again, the color of someone's skin is just utterly ridiculous.
Well, how about what's your response, John, to the president saying that Obamacare and Benghazi are not at the top of the list of our concerns?
Well, the situation, the story in Benghazi is kind of a sad one all around. It also should be pointed out that a lot of the fault for it goes, if you read into it considerably, goes back to the fact that the Republicans in the Congress cut the funding for an awful lot of that kind of a business. And also, this was not an embassy. This was a consulate in Benghazi. We only have an embassy in the capital cities. And the ambassador who was killed, it was suggested to him that he not go there because Benghazi is known to be a hotbed of terrorism and so forth. And he did anyway. And it's also interesting to note that for all the screaming and shouting and stamping their feet that the Republicans are doing about four people killed in Benghazi, Lord knows it's terrible. We shouldn't allow that. But on the other hand, think of how many were killed during the Bush administration in various embassies around the world, hundreds of them. And they weren't shouting and screaming from the rooftops then. I just think that they're using it for cheap political thrills, and I'm not at all in favor of that. Yeah. It's not a way to treat American personnel.
What about the criticism, Michelle, that these hearings are to try to embarrass the White House in advance of the midterm elections?
I think we have a responsibility not only to the four Americans that were killed over there, but to every American serving overseas. We have a responsibility to find out why Americans were not sent to their aid to defend them when they were under attack. I want to know why. I want to know who said, you know, let's not send soldiers in to try to defend them right now. I want to know what happened so that never, ever happens again. My son will be a Marine in a year, and I want to know if he is deployed somewhere in this world that he will not be left to die if he is under attack. And I think every American out there needs to know the answer to that question.
Well, just make sure that you don't elect more Republicans to the House then, I guess, Michelle, because they're the ones who cut that funding.
Well, we'll move on. Actually, since we're talking about veterans, let's talk about the scandal with the Veterans Affairs Administration. President Obama said that that he was standing by VA Secretary Shinseki, but that those responsible for lengthy delays at the VA hospitals and any wrongdoing will be punished. How do you think President Obama is handling this VA scandal, John?
I think he's handling it as best he possibly can. It's a terrible thing, to be sure, but it's not an uncommon one. It's been talked about for a long time that the military affairs hospitals and healthcare system in general is woefully inadequate. We've known that for a long, long time. And in fact, there are several bills in Congress right now that would allow basically for, let's say that somebody was living here in Park Falls, a wounded veteran who was recuperating, and instead of having to drive all the way up to Ironwood, Michigan, where the closest VA hospital is, they could go to the hospital right here in Park Falls, and the government would pick up the bills. And it would make a lot more sense than shipping people around to these veterans' hospitals. And I think that we're getting to that, and I think it's probably a good idea that this we're being forced, to be sure, but I think that we're taking a second look at the whole healthcare structure for the medical, for the military, and I'm in favor of it.
And, Michelle, how do you rate the president's handling of this controversy?
Well, there are so many different aspects of this. I mean, number one, to hear President Obama say that he's really upset about everything that's happened and we're going to have another study, I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous. He didn't say we're going to have another study and then people's heads are going to roll. He just said we're going to have another study and then we're going to address it. Well, we know that upwards of 40 people have died waiting to see doctors in the veterans hospitals. We know there's a problem. We don't need to study it. We need to start addressing them today. I think another thing we need to look at here is that this is what a single-payer system looks like. These are government-run, 100% bureaucratically run hospitals that are not one ounce responsible to the consumers. We have people receiving bonuses at veterans hospitals, administrators receiving bonuses when people were dying waiting for services. This is unacceptable. I really expected the president to say, we're going to fix this. And now it's not his fault. I mean, this has been going on for years, again, because it's a single-payer system, and the bureaucrats who run the hospitals are not accountable to their customers at all, and they continue to receive bonuses when their customers aren't happy. So the system does need to be reformed, and I agree with John on this. I think we need to give our veterans insurance so that they can go to whatever hospital they choose and seek out whatever provider they choose so that the customer and the consumer are now in charge of their health care instead of giving it to the government to run.
So, John, is this a condemnation of government-run or single-payer health care?
No, I don't see it that way at all. And it's interesting to look at how the military health care system evolved. It evolved from Walter Reed in Washington and spread around the country. They built special hospitals and things. But it's gotten to the point now where it's becoming much more difficult to do that. And they, for instance, the VA has been very good at getting cheaper prices for drugs and medications than our regular system has. And a number of other things that they do that is really very good, and we can learn lessons from them. But I just think that we've reached a point now where we need some kind of a system whereby veterans can go to whatever is the closest facility to for any kind of care they need and have it taken from paid by the government, just because I don't think that we're going to be able to continue with this. It's not going to go for much longer, I'm afraid.
Yeah. So, Michelle, should President Obama fire Secretary Shinseki?
I guess I can't put all of the blame on his shoulders, but I would have liked to have heard the president say, we're going to fix this. Not that we're going to have another study, have him say, we're going to fix this. And whether Shinseki is the gentleman who's going to be the one to do it, I'm not exactly sure, but the system is broken. We have veterans dying waiting for service, and that is unacceptable. And so I just wish he would have said that he's not going to ask for another study. We don't need to study this. They've been studying this for years. They know where the problems are, and now they just need to fix it.
Let's go to Jackie in Drummond. Hello, Jackie.
Yes, I concur that there's a big issue, and if Michelle had listened to Obama, this has been going on for years, not just under his light. But I don't know if anybody else feels this way. Cite just one medical case, how it worked that somebody died. I'm really tired of these 40 people dying. Did they die in their bed because they couldn't go to the hospital? I mean, give us a case. I mean, I think this is just kind of too ambiguous who died and why, because nobody saw them. I mean, I feel, can somebody just tell me one case?
Well, thanks for the call. I know that that's in the reporting that 40 died while waiting in Phoenix for care. But I think that's part of this, isn't it, Michelle, that this has to be thoroughly investigated to find out exactly what happened?
I don't necessarily know if it needs to be investigated to know that we have people waiting for services. And they need to have those services provided to them. We need to find a way to get that done. And by the way, to the caller, I did say this problem has been going on for many administrations, and this problem exists because it is a single-payer system, and veterans don't have a choice. If they want to have their medical services provided to them, they must go to a VA hospital. And we have some great VA hospitals. There's no doubt about it. Wisconsin has been served very well. But I think the number is up to 23, did I see, 26, where they have these secret waiting lists where they're not reporting those numbers because, of course, if they had these waiting lists, their administrators wouldn't be receiving the bonuses that they're receiving.
Mm-hmm. John, anything further?
No, I don't think so. I think we've pretty much covered this. And I admit that it's a problem. I think everybody knows that it's a problem. I don't think holding General Shinseki personally responsible for it is any answer at all. And I'm glad that the president has asked him to stay on and to do whatever he can to try to get this mess straightened out. And I assume that that will be, that it will be taken care of. Somebody's going to be really looking into it now. And that number 40, by the way, has been disproven anyway. There was somebody down in that place in Arizona, wherever it was that they were counting. They said that 40 deaths had occurred because of maltreatment or people getting lost in the shuffle. They said they just pulled that number out of the air, that it really wasn't that many. But who knows? I mean, I'm sure that it does happen, and it's something that we need to correct.
Coming up, it's our Week in Review quiz and other stories in state and national politics. We'll talk some when we come back about the controversy over the world's largest Bratfest going on in Madison this weekend. And much more. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Michelle Litchens, former Republican state representative from Oshkosh and a small business owner, and John Smart, past chair of the Price County Democratic Party. He's also a board member of the Park Falls Community Library. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Time now for our Week in Review quiz. These days, Lake Winnebago may look like a scene out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Clouds and clouds and clouds of a particular insect have invaded the area, clinging to everything in sight, leaving behind a nasty mess when squished. What kind of bug are we talking about? What insect is swarming the Lake Winnebago area these days, this week, in fact? If you think you know, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 5 minutes to call in your answer. We'll randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers, and we will send the winner something fabulous from Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll announce the winner and the answer at the end of the program. Well, let's get back to the news of the week. We have, we have a lot of people who still want to talk about VA service, but we're going to have to move on to some other issues. There will be more talk about VA service on point in our next hour. Let's talk a little bit about in Madison, the world's largest Bratfest is got a lot of attention this week. Sponsor Tim Metcalf had added a Christian music stage to the Memorial Day weekend festival and invited a speaker, a motivational Christian speaker and anti-abortion activist, Bob Lenz, to speak at the festival. Lenz was going to speak on suicide prevention, but still some local officials raised concerns to Metcalf, and the organizer of the Bratfest canceled the speaking invitation. So I guess, Michelle Litchens, what's your take on what happened here? Who was in the right here?
You know, this is just so sad, and this is something that we're seeing happen all over the country, almost now on a daily basis. We saw Brandon Eich have to resign as CEO of Mozilla because he had previously given money to groups that opposed gay marriage. Condoleezza Rice was asked not to be a commencement speaker, or actually she she withdrew as a commencement speaker for graduation because there were protests because of her politics. What happened to tolerance? What happened to open-mindedness? I mean, isn't that what we heard preached by the left for years in this country? But all of a sudden, if you don't agree with everything in the left's agenda, you don't have a place in the public anymore. And I think we're seeing that happen right here in our own backyard with the Broadfest. This gentleman was asked to speak about suicide prevention. I mean, really, that's not political, and that's something we do need to be talking about more because it is an epidemic of our youth here in Wisconsin. So, but the fact that because he is opposed to abortion, all of a sudden, you know, he's not allowed to speak anymore at this festival. I think this is sad, and I think if the left wants to preach tolerance and open-mindedness, I think they need to start showing that with their actions.
I should note that Bob Lenz is linked to Save the Storks, a group that sponsors stork buses, and these buses park in front of abortion clinics and offer ultrasound exams in an effort to divert women from terminating their pregnancies. And that was one of the objections. So, John Smart, what's your take on this?
Well, I think that the most interesting comment about that was the guy that was trying to persuade him to speak there, was trying to arrange it, is a recently, he's announced that he's a recently born-again Christian, and I think that that was definitely part of the problem here. And if it's a public speaking thing, a public event like the Broadfest, I just don't think it's an appropriate place for stork buses or Save the Storks or whatever it is. And I just think that was a mistake to begin with.
Right. You know, I don't think he was bringing his bus, and I don't think he was talking about the ultrasounds that they provide. I mean, I think he was asked to speak there about the suicide prevention. So, again, the fact that he has these other views in a different part of his life, if he was not talking about that publicly there and he was going to talk about suicide prevention, I think that's something we need to be discussing. And, again, it is a sad day in our country when if you have one particular set of viewpoints, that society is going to hold that against you in every other area of your life, and you will no longer, you know, have access to some jobs in public speaking, you know, because you hold these views.
Yeah, John, what about Michelle saying that the left often shuts down more conservative views and is not tolerant of even hearing conservative views?
Well, that's what we hear all the time, of course. That's what the right wing wants to promote. That's their story. But this is a very interesting question, and it says here that there's a man named Subic who was running for one of the positions in an assembly district, and he said that the two things could not be separated, given Lenz's prominent role in anti-abortion activism. And also, I think that the anti-suicide thing was basically going to be because of the issue of homosexuality. And I don't think that, I can't imagine that this guy would be involved in speaking and not bring up any of his own religious basic tenets. I just think that's kind of it's a given anyway. And I think he needed to be removed from that position.
All right, we have an email from Chris who says, this week a judge released documents related to the John Doe investigation into activities that occurred during Governor Walker's tenure as Milwaukee County Executive. Could your guest please comment on the significance of this? All right, well, who was chuckling there?
That was me.
All right, John, what
the first thing that comes to mind is, will we ever hear the end of this? That's kind of my reaction to that. There's going to be something going on about that investigation, no matter where we go or how long it takes, except, of course, until this fall when we defeat Scott Walker for governorship, and then we won't have to pay any attention to him at all anymore. But I just think it's kind of silly.
Michelle?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not familiar with the email at all, so I'm sorry, but I do know that the John Doe investigation, they don't have the right to continue to pursue that. It should be done and over with. I think it was a witch hunt. We knew how much money was being spent on the left side, you know, defending or trying to defeat Governor Walker in that recall, and why John Chisholm wasn't doing any investigation on the left at all. if he thought that there were wrongdoings, you know, going on during the recall election with outside groups and money and coordination and so on and so forth. But anyway, so I hope we're not going to hear any more about it just because the investigation was shut down.
Let's touch on a couple of other issues before we run out of time. Senator Mitch McConnell shut down a primary challenge to his 30-year tenure as the Republican senator in Kentucky. He was challenged by a Tea Party member, Matt Bevin. But and then there were other primaries in three other states where the mainstream Republicans defeated the Tea Party challengers. So, Michelle, what does this mean? Does this mean that the Tea Party is waning?
Well, there are so many different parts of this. You know, the Tea Party is really no different than Wisconsin Progress or Progressive Dane, right? I mean, you've got kind of your far-right groups and your far-left groups that are trying to push their own party more in the other direction. And I think it is very frustrating for Republicans, all Republicans, when you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and nothing is changing. Our debt is skyrocketing, and we see wasteful spending, and just there's so much that Republicans want to fix. And when you see your own senator, and you're like, how come you're not fixing this for me? And I don't always think everyone understands that when you're in the minority, there's not much you can do. So I think that, you know, the fact that the Tea Party was out there challenging Republican candidates that have been around for a while, I don't really see a problem with that, but I do see at the end people started to understand that it wasn't the Republicans that were fighting the Democrats, and so they sent back the people that they trusted to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you think?
Oh, I don't really have any comment of it at all, I don't think. It's just Congress being Congress as usual, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering if you think the Tea Party is a force to be reckoned with, or is it?
Well, I think the Tea Party took a little bit of a trouncing on that event, at that election, and it's not just the ones that you mentioned. There are several of them across the country, and I think it's probably inevitable. And the same thing would happen to the same thing did happen to the Democrats when we tried to run that guy who now he's now going. Drawing a blank on the name.
It's okay.
Can't think of his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Let's congratulate our Week in Review quiz winner, Nancy. We don't know where you're from, Nancy, but congratulations. You are the winner of our Week in Review quiz. We asked what kind of insect is swarming the Lake Winnebago area this week, and the answer is lake flies or mayflies. It happens every year, usually around Mother's Day, but the cooler spring delayed this year's hatch, and it's pretty bad this time. A naturalist at High Cliff State Park says she hasn't seen this many lake flies in many seasons. Lake flies exist for one purpose, to reproduce, so expect a similar hatch, a smaller hatch, in August. Lake flies don't have mouths, so they don't bite you, and they don't really eat anything. But apparently the songbirds love them, so they serve one useful purpose. The songbirds
eat them too.
Oh, yeah, the fish too. So, Michelle, have you run into any of these buggers in Oshkosh?
Oh, I have said for years that they need to have a film crew here filming a horror movie when this happens. You can't, I mean, if anyone would want to experience the craziness, they should just drive to Lake Winnebago, because they'll cover your car. You cannot ride a bicycle outside because they just come in your mouth. I mean, it's disgusting. So, I mean, it's very short-lived, which is nice, but you're right, you can't kill them. You can't swat your house, you know, because
right.
They have this green slime then everywhere. It's really ridiculous, but I know that they're good for the sturgeons.
stay safe there. I do remember them from my time in the Valley, too. I'll put a video on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There is a video out there, and it's pretty strange. Michelle and John, thank you very much for being with us, and I hope you both have a very happy and thoughtful Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Joy. Same to you.
Shining
up here. I don't know about down there, but it's looking beautiful out now.
It is going to be a beautiful weekend, I believe. So thanks very much for joining us. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network.